Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America.
Please, I will implore you, do not pay attention to mainstream media. They are involved in a host of all kinds of things that have been designed to take down this president, who really was duly elected, and we will see that hopefully relatively quickly as evidence is mounting, and they are communists. Let's remember that, folks. All of their acronyms, all of their labels, all of their words always end up in the same place. They are communists. And unless we start identifying the enemy and claiming who they are, we will be lost forever. Let's not let that happen. You're listening to Karen Schoen, and this is the prism of America's education. We are very fortunate today because I have invited a good friend and also the Florida head of JBS, which has been screaming about the truth about communism ever since I can remember. Armando Escalante, it is a pleasure to have you with me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Armando, what do you think about what I just said? Should we be calling them communists, or should we allow them to get cloaked under the name of progressive or liberals?
First of all, thank you very much, Karen. It's always an honor to be here with you, and it's great having a camaraderie with fellow patriots. To answer your question, no stretch of the imagination, what's going on communism, because remember, too, the communists take their marching orders from globalists. And it's important for people to understand that is those globalists that really are the ones that are setting the blueprint, setting the stage, and then the communists are the ones that carry out agenda. And that's what we see happening. It's important for, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say we should identify who those globalists really are.
Because
they are the tech giants. They're the Wall Street heads, CEOs of these mega corporations, which we as Americans have allowed to get too big.
And we have those that are even above them. The Rockefeller family, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, a lot of their peers. You have monarchies in Europe that are involved. You have a lot different, very powerful. It's the very powerful people in the world that come together and they work to undermine our system, particularly the United States. We're the target because they want to build a global government, a new world order, as they call it, where you have a one world economic system, one world political system, and one world social structure.
And let us remember that when they put this in place, they will be in control of your destiny. You will not have any say in what you are doing. It will all be dictated down from the top. This is a top down, crush
Absolutely.
The middle and destroy the bottom motivation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the things that I really want to point out to your audience is when we see the Antifas and the Black Lives Matter or even the OACs showing up on the scene, they are more symptomatic of what the real problem is, because the problem really rests with the fact that we have the education side. But more importantly, why is it that we even have this problem? The reason why that is because the way communism works is not what we necessarily see. The way communism really works is it's a psychological shift. So in other words, they use mass psychology to change what Antonio Gramsci called the consciousness of society. And what that means is they create a worldview on purpose, and they have over decades funded, globalists have funded, particularly the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. They've been the big funders behind a lot of this movement. But they work through the education system, and they work through other means, media and even religious institutions, to change the consciousness of society, for us to embrace new values, set of ideas. And it even goes back before the 20th century with the creation of pragmatism and utilitarianism and Malthusianism and all these isms that have come up and shifted that worldview to the value system of people is such that you get what you see. So when you see a lot of the people running around, you know, destroying property and FUS and the Black Lives Matter and all these different groups, Nancy Pelosi's and the OACs, they literally have a completely different value system that they've literally have been created to do exactly what they are. And education has been a big part of it. I have some reports.
Education is the reason why we are in the mess we're in. The media can only promote what you have learned. And that's what their that's job correct. Is. Their job is to normalize it. Listen to this statement that Biden just said, that Trump is embarrassing himself by not conceding. Mm-hmm. Now, all he's doing is putting a seed in somebody's head saying, oh, why didn't he concede? Why didn't he concede? Well, of course, exactly. The fact that Biden didn't win, the only way that he could win was through fraud. Exactly. Why should he concede? Because that's the desired outcome that they want. That's the value that they want. And exactly. They are masters at this.
That's exactly right. They're masters of the manipulation of the mind. And Edward Bernays wrote a whole book called Propaganda. And it's a great book if people can pick that up. It's not published anymore, but you can pick up a PDF version of it online. You can read how, you know, he was the master of the manipulation of the mind, and so was Zbigniew Brzezinski. He was another master of that. So, but if you look at the Sustainable Development Goals, goal number 4, it really outlines there. In essence, when you read not only this, but you read also, there's another report that came out in 2003, and that was the Civic Mission of Schools by the Carnegie Corporation of New York and CIRCLE, which is the Center for Information and Research. They put out a report. And essentially, the common denominator, you know, there's other reports that are out there too. The common denominator in all of this is that they target the weak and they go after them and they figure out a way, and this is why they do these studies, they learn and study the weak so that they can learn how to use them as tools for social change. And then they build in their minds that mindset that those people need to have. And because they're weak and because they have very little education, they're much easier to indoctrinate into the becoming essentially weapons. So they weaponize the weak. And it's very important to understand this because that's what they're doing in the school system. It's the weak and the vulnerable. And the vulnerable isn't always the weak. Vulnerable can be children because children are innocent. You know, children are, they look to adults and they're full of love and they are targeted and weaponized. And it's really a psychological abuse that you find that is being done to children that creates the kind of people that you see. So by the time they get to college or by the time they get on the streets, those are really the product of the masters of the world today, the products of the Rockefeller clan, the products of George Soros, the products of the Rothschilds, you know, the products of all these people at high places that want this kind of population to serve them without even the people realizing it. And then the language that they use, because they have to get to the parents too, that everything seems like it's benevolent and ideal and good. And that's how we get trapped because the poison is sugar-coated. And then we partake of that. And then we wind up becoming enemies of ourselves without even realizing it. And that is the diabolical genius of how communism really works. And I can't emphasize that enough, because that's where we need to look to be able to understand the problems we're facing today.
Right. And when you say, Armando, the weak, are weak by design. It doesn't mean that they are actually inferior and weak. What has happened is that programs have been created to keep them ignorant. So if you don't learn about something and you have no knowledge of it, then it's very easy. If you're going someplace and your slate is completely blank and you have no opinion on anything, and I begin to tell you how awful your friends are, everything that they got was because they were white and maybe you're not, and therefore whatever you get, you have to go and beg for, and you are incapable of doing anything on your own. And if I keep away, and we saw this, I believe, very heavily with President Trump, when nobody knew his plan on COVID. He had an incredible plan, but you know what his fault was? He never said, this is my plan. He came out and he pushed initiatives, but he never said, this is my plan. And these people are programmed to look for a plan. So when he didn't say, this is my plan, it was easy for the communists to say, there's no plan. There's no plan. There's no plan.
Exactly. Yeah. And what I'm referring to weak, I'm really more specifically, is the helpless, you know, people that, you know, for example, broken families, and that's been a deliberate effort. So they break up the families, is what you're saying. They break up the families, and then they take the byproduct of that broken family, and then they use the children to serve them, and they train them, and they create monsters, basically, communist monsters. And that's what we see. And the people don't realize that's what's going on unless they have some kind of an awakening, that they recognize that what they're involved in isn't right. But that's how they work, and that's all over their reports. They really target that, and they labor in those reports to determine how to reach these folks so that they can basically capture them and then use them and weaponize them. That's in their reports. It's insane. And then when you look at some of the things, you know, the language that they use, language, like, for example, Common Core is a good example, because people, without realizing it, 25 years ago, when they brought in standards-based education and outcome-based education, standards was the buzzword. And a lot of people signed up because, oh, we have to have standards in education, realizing that what we thought standards were was completely different than what they actually meant. But the policies were not in accordance with what we thought standards were. It was really in accordance to what their definition, the subverters' definition of standards were. And that's why education went the way it did. And then we're looking around 20 years later, and it's like, why is education so bad? Well, we embraced the ideas, thinking it's one thing when in fact it was something else. You know, it's almost irreversible, because so much momentum and so much infrastructure and so much has been built upon it, with policy and funding and constituency that's created because people make money off of curriculum, this or that or whatever. And it's just almost impossible to overturn it. And the time to catch communism is when it's just a little sprout. And that's the thing that I want to emphasize today, is we have to catch it when it's a sprout. And there's a lot of sprouts that are out there right now. One of them is school choice. The other one is the movement towards self-driving cars. That's another one. Smart homes. There's a lot of other things that they're bringing up right now. AI. I mean, that's becoming, more people are becoming more aware of AI and they're exposing it.
Okay, I agree with you 100%. Let me see if this example is what you're talking about. As a teacher, we were given standards. To me, I thought standards were irrelevant, because each child achieves things differently. So to have exactly. a one-size-shoe-fits-all doesn't make sense.
Standards, when standards were sold to educators, it was sold exactly the way you're talking about. And then it doesn't work. But the real issue behind standards is not standards themselves. Standards-based education, which is outcome-based education. That's the model. Determined outcome for the student. And that predetermined outcome is designed by the very globalists. And they outlined it in their reports that they want a certain outcome of the student to be what they want is today global citizens. That's the outcome. So when you read the definitions of what they say good education is, it's everything relates, or even good civics education, it has nothing to do with the Constitution, liberty, has everything to do with creating willing wards of the state, and that they're good, subservient citizens of a world dictatorship.
And it gets sold to the American people very simply. We will have standards in school. For example, at the end of first grade, your child will be able to read five-letter words.
Exactly.
The problem is, what are those words saying?
Right.
We never go further than that. We say, oh, wow, isn't that wonderful? They'll be able to read. But what are they reading? And we don't look at what they're reading, and that's the big problem.
Yes, and it's because it was sold as we want to have standards to improve education. People bought into it, not realizing what it meant. And it's the same thing even with today with school choice. People don't realize that school choice and the whole charter school movement is really Common Core 2.0, because it's the transition from national education to international education. But it's being sold. Idea that parents have a choice of where their children can go and where the tax money that they pay, where that could be allocated to, and has nothing could be further from the truth. That's kind of like how they bait you. But in the end, when you look at the reports of where these people say they want this to go, it is complete, total control of education by the United Nations to create global citizens.
You're absolutely 100% right on target. So I ask everybody who is involved in choice, does it matter what the location is where your child learns to be a communist? No. What good is choice?
That's a really good way to put it. Exactly. Because it's still the same thing.
Same thing. Doesn't matter what the building looks like. I had a kid who liked to sit and he wanted to read and he needed absolute silence. He used to go read in the closet. Did I care? No, because he was reading.
Right.
That's not the point. The location is irrelevant. It's what they are learning that's important. Before we move on, Armando, could you please tell everyone where they can find you and about a little bit about JBS? Because JBS was my introduction long time ago into the communist idea when we were being called conspiracy nuts.
Yes, I am. The Jobwork Society is an organization that basically opens the eyes of people to understand the depth of what we're facing, and also to train and educate people on our system, our constitutional system, our free market system, and our American heritage. Because it's important for us to understand that if we're going to understand how tyranny works against that. So we do both. And then we not only do the education side, but then we take that information and people get to work to be able to actually be active in working towards the restoration of our original principles and to begin to help others to understand how these totalitarian ideas work against them and just enlighten the people in their communities, because we have chapters all over the country. And my job is to be the coordinator of those chapters and members in my territory, which I cover Florida and Alabama.
Oh, that's quite a territory. And folks, it is so important. My tagline that I use all the time is that applying knowledge is power. knowing something is only half the job if you don't use it. And that was what I loved about JBS, because exactly. they not only told you, but they explained what you can do about it. And exactly. this is so important. So everyone, hold that thought, and we will be right back. You're listening to Karen Schoen and Armando Escalante. This is the Prism of America's Education.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to The Prism of America's Education, and we are having a deep conversation in understanding what communism really is. And communism is about lies. And I always asked, when I was listening to Obama, I would ask my liberal friends, and now I will use the word communist because that's what they are, do they accept what Obama says? And they said, absolutely, of course. And I said, even if it is a lie? And they never answered. How can you teach your children not to lie if your president is lying? Our role models are very skewed. And this mm-hmm. is part of communism as well. Their idea is to do as they say, not as they do. And they tell you. And what they are saying, we have to look at and actually do the opposite. When people say, what is Biden going to be, what's next? What have they been calling us for the last several years? They've been calling us Nazis. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to do what Nazis do. That's what they have been telling us. By calling us, they are exposing their hand as to what they are going to do to us if they really had the opportunity. So we have to listen to what they say and then think the opposite, because that's what they do. And this filters right into education and the media. What would you think about that, Armando?
Well, one thing I wanted to point out, too, is that because you mentioned the word Nazi, it's important for people to understand, because, again, here's subversion. We've always been taught that Nazis and fascists are far right, and then communist socialists are on the far left. And that's actually not true. Fascists and Nazis are totalitarian. So when you look at the political spectrum, you have 0% political power on the far right, which is anarchy. And as you go towards the left, you go up to 100%, and that's where all the totalitarian systems are. So it's very important to people understand it, because if you don't, then you wind up with this idea that you can have centrists that are between totalitarianism, one form of totalitarianism, and another form of totalitarianism. But even if you're in the center, you're still totalitarian. So you're either on the far right as anarchists, or you're on the far left as totalitarians, and our constitutional form of government is center right. So it's not anarchy, but it's left of anarchy, so that there's just enough government to secure the rights of the people. So it's very important to understand that. So you asked was about media. Media plays a big role, because it was Lenin who said back in 1901 or 1905, I forget the year, that the media, the newspaper, and you can replace, you know, any of them. You can replace CNN, Fox News, and I'm really happy to see that Fox News now is their, you know, they're getting exposed. But the media or the newspaper is a collective propagandist a collective agitator and a collective organizer. And you notice they use the three word, the common denominator is the collective, collective, collective. And that's important because that's what they do. They agitate us, they organize us, and they propagandize us. And that is another tactic that's used by Marxists to overthrow states. And that's what they're doing with us right now. And it's becoming even more prevalent now that it's just become so out of hand, that it's just so blatantly obvious that they're doing just those three things right there.
Yes. And we, as Armando just said, we can see that. So what can we do about it? Well, my answer to that is stop using their stuff.
Exactly. Turn off the TV.
Turn off the TV. That's right. I used to tell my kids when I was in school, and they would say, "Oh my gosh, social media, and they're demonizing me." Stop looking at it. Who are these people? You have no idea who they are. What effect do they have on your life? Nothing. Who cares? Shut it off. Don't pay attention.
Right. And we've been trained to believe that there are friends in the media that are on our side, and nothing could be further from the truth. And the important thing about this, too, is that we have a tendency to look towards the media, the talking heads, the heroes, for our civics lesson. So we listen to them, and then they indoctrinate us in a form of civics that has nothing to do with our system. What we need to do is, instead of looking towards the media for education and advice, we need to go to the Constitution. We need to go to the writings of our founders. We need to go to the Federalist Papers. We need to go to the Anti-Federalist Papers. We need to go to the writings of Madison, the writings of George Washington. We need to go and read what they said. We can even go back even to Montesquieu, and we can go back to John Locke.
John Locke.
To understand what our system is based on. And then when we start to see what they said, and we have really a frame of reference to contrast what really was said and what was taught and what our heritage is. You compare it to what's going on today, and it's completely different. And
absolutely,
it's important for us to understand that, because we have friends that are on our side that don't really understand that difference. And they wind up being enemies or false friends, whether it's deliberate or whether they don't even realize it. And that is the diabolical genius of communism, is that they make your friends your enemies.
And the first thing you said was so important. We have to read, and that's the problem. Mm-hmm. Our school programs have been designed to make sure that our kids are dumb. They can't read. So therefore, it's easier for me to tell you than to say to you, go read that and make your own decision, because they're incapable of doing that. They can't make their own decision. They can't read what's on the paper. I was listening to a woman the other day, and she was talking about BLM wants to come into the schools. Well, first of all, in Florida, and we're very, very fortunate in Florida, we actually have a law on the books that prohibits communism, and we'll talk about that later on. But what we also should know is that while our kids are learning all about how racist we are, what is suffering? They're not learning how to read. 70% of the kids in this Georgia district were getting a high dose of BLM education, and 70% of them cannot read or write. In Florida, it's 47%, but that is changing.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting you say that, because when you look at page 5 of the civics mission of schools, it says this, there's 2 points. It says, it is crucial for the future health of our democracy that all young people, remember, we're not a democracy, we're a Republican form of government, so that's already subversive there. It is crucial for the future of the health of our democracy that all young people, including those who are usually marginalized, be knowledgeable, engaged in their communities and in politics, and committed to the public good. So that's the purpose of education. Then the next line says, encouraging the development of civics skills and attitudes among young people has been an important goal of education. You hear that? Encouraging the development of civic skills and attitudes, because they're not referring to civics as we know it. They're referring to revolutionary
Activism.
Yes, exactly.
They're teaching the kids to be activists, but they can't read, write, and do simple math.
Exactly. I mean, listen to this. So the encouraging development of civic skills and attitudes among young people has been an important goal of education and was the primary impetus for originally establishing public schools.
No, it was not. Absolutely not at all. First of all, the people in the 1700s and 1800s and early 1900s were far superior in intellect and their reading and math ability than we have today. And that's a really sad thing. They have taken school and turned it into a social construct instead of a skills-based construct. School was supposed to do three things: teach reading, writing, math, and our founding documents. And beyond that, you were really on your own, because if you had that ability, you could live on your own, you could do on your own. You knew what your laws were, you knew what your rights were, and you were able to maintain them in society. When we took
that's basically traditional education, which is what has changed, because traditional education is what you're saying is the idea of giving the student all the information that they need. In other words, it serves the student so that they can get what they need. They get reading, writing, arithmetic, science, geography, you know, whatever information, biblical knowledge, all that. They decide what's best for them. The individual decides what's best for them. Whereas when they made the shift to outcome-based education, which is socialist education, now that was a predetermined outcome of what they want you to be. And if they want you to be a socialist, then that's the purpose of education. If they want you to be a burger flipper, that's the purpose of education. If they want you to be dumbed down because they want you to serve as an activist, which is what they're doing, one of the many things that they're doing, if they have the predetermined outcome, and that's what's going on in the system today, without exception. And it's important for parents to understand that. You know, you hear so much of it, and we've talked about this before, is that you wonder sometimes, why did I lose my son or my daughter? You know, they were raised in the church, and they were great, you know, straight-A students. All of a sudden, they went to college, and they became Marxists. Well, that's the reason why. It's because everything that they learned in the school system was outcome-based. In other words, it was not to serve them, but to serve the state. And that's important.
Exactly. They have taken your child's destiny. Okay, so the important thing that we are going to glean from this new form of education is that your child's destiny is going to be predetermined by all of those little algorithms that are created as your child punches the keyboard. That's why it's so important.
Yes, and here's another quote. Of what the competent and responsible citizens, okay, because that's the goal of civic education, is to create responsible global citizenships, forces of globalization and economic change, which is the redistribution of wealth. It says, have moral and civic virtues. This is what their outcome is supposed to be. They are concerned for the rights and welfare of others, are socially responsible, willing to listen to alternative perspectives, confident in their capacity to make a difference, and ready to contribute personally to civic and political action. That's what you were saying earlier. They strike a reasonable balance between their own interests and the common good. That's a transition from the individual to collective. Recognize the importance of and practice civic duties such as voting and respecting the rule of law. Now, it's important because the definition of the rule of law is not what we think the rule of law is. You actually have to go to the United Nations website there to what the definition of rule of law is. And it's essentially the rule of law is the idea the United Nations is the ultimate authority and that we must obey that. And then there has to be inclusion and equality and all these socialist ideas. And that's what they mean by the respecting of the rule of law. So you can see that that's the predetermined outcome in civics. These ideas intertwine it in mathematics, in biology, right, in social studies, in history, in all the disciplines. These ideas, I have a book that talks about equity, gender equity in mathematics that was published back in the 90s, designed for educators so that they can bring social equity into the classroom using mathematics as the means by which to do that.
Folks, this has been going on for probably a century, and it has culminated into what we see today because they feel that they are ready to take over. And this is where we are right now.
They've created their
army of actors.
Their human capital, which would be political capital, weaponized individuals for social change. So they've created their army in the school system, and now that army's ready to go. And that's what you see happening. That army's out there doing the work, the bottom-up work, which is what they want. Because they also have a different education, which is the same, but it's to create a ruling class, the bottom-up class. So the ruling class, they're the ones that make the decisions in policy. Those are the people you see in government, the Nancy Pelosi's, the Chuck Schumer's, the Joe Biden's of the world. And then you have the Antifa's in the Black Lives Matter as the bottom-up force. So you've got the two forces working together, and they fit together like a puzzle because it's designed that way.
And by using the racial overtone, that's the glue that ties everything together. So if you want to do something that's egregious, just call the people a racist.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will shudder and go away. And, oh, my goodness, I'm not a racist. Please don't think I am. There's nothing I would not do. I'm not a racist. Don't call me that. We think that that's so horrible. Our real answer should be, oh, really? Give me an example. Show me where. Because they can't. And all they can use are the empty words. They are masters at adjectives.
When you look at what the definitions, what their definition of racism is, I can go down a laundry list. You know, if you are white, you're a racist. If you're born white, you're a racist. If you live in an air-conditioned home, you're a racist. If you carry a lunch pail to school, you're a racist. If you drive a car, you're a racist. Because if you sleep on a warm bed, you're a racist. Master bedrooms. I mean, literally, these are things that you can look them up. This is the definition of what they call racist. What people need to understand has nothing to do with being prejudiced against skin color. Has everything to do with the umbrella of racism, those very things that make America great. Christianity, liberty, the Constitution, a Republican form of government, free market economics, capitalism. They're driving these ideals under that umbrella. So while they're making us think, and again, this is the diabolical genius of communism, while they're making us think that it has everything to do with discrimination against skin color, is the abolition of Christianity, the abolition of capitalism, the abolition of free markets, the abolition of church, the abolition of religion, masks, lockdowns, everything. That's what they mean.
And well, Armando, you are absolutely correct. And this is what we have to look out for. And we have to be smart enough to say, no, I'm not going to comply. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I don't believe you. Show me proof. Tell me where. Armando, thank you so much. You are listening to Karen Schoen. And this is the Prism of America's Education.
Fellow Americans, you've watched for decades as radical Marxists have systematically taken over some of our nation's most cherished institutions. Well, AmericaOutloud.com is fighting back with one of the fastest growing conservative media networks in the world, featuring some of the nation's most influential experts and commentators. Join us. We're in this together, and we consider you part of our family in our crusade to share the news, commentary, and agenda that can lead America back again. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
I've got a question, and that question is, In this new world of lies, does truth really matter? Well, I brought my expert in truth, Pastor Rick Stevens, and he's going to be discussing this question with us because I feel that all we are doing is showing our children that lies are acceptable. What do you think, Pastor Rick? Does the truth matter?
Well, I think you're onto something. Oh, you're absolutely onto something, and the truth does matter. And what you just said about people contacting their congressmen and senators to let them know of their concerns about the election and really anything, they should always do that. And you people think, well, if I do it once, it's enough. I always tell people, do it more than once. Do it every day if you need to, because they only listen when we compel them to listen. And that's part of the equation. The other part of the equation is everybody needs to know that we're paying attention, because it happens too often that our elected representatives will do whatever they can get away with. And if they think we're not paying attention, that makes it easier for them to get away with things. I'm not accusing them of anything, not saying that, but I am saying we, the people, have a responsibility to watch and pay attention. And so when you admonish everyone to contact their representatives, I agree completely, and keep contacting them and keep contacting them. Multiple contacts do make a difference. Compel them to listen. Okay, so that was my rant on that, but I agree with you, and I think it's important. Too many good-hearted people think that if they just speak up once, they've done all they can do. It really does take more than that. It takes real persistence. As for this business of the truth, well, I am stunned that we're wrestling with that in this country. You know, none of us likes to be an I told you so. But I am so riveted by your question. It was been some weeks ago, well before the election, that I began saying to our church that the distinctive that Christian faith brings to our world today is a commitment to the truth. We have to be committed to hearing the truth, to finding the truth, to learning the truth, to insisting on the truth prevailing. And so when you bring this up, that we're subject to all of this misinformation, all of these lies, all of this attempt to point us in one direction while something else is going on in another, all of that is vitally important. We who believe that there is something called the truth need to insist that the truth come out. And so, yes, we have to have that. Our very survival depends on it in so many ways, so, not just as a republic, but as a republic, but personally. If we can't deal with each other truthfully, what basis can we have for going forward as a country, as our communities? If I can't go to the store and deal truthfully with the people that are selling me groceries or widgets to fix something, how can I function if we're not telling the truth and we're not behaving as truthful, honest people? So the truth matters unbelievably so, and we can't let it slip. There's been evidence of it slipping for a long time. I remember some years ago it got my attention when I began to hear people say something to the effect of, well, that's my truth. And it got my attention because of their choice of words. I'm happy for you to have an opinion. You can disagree with me. Plenty of people are happy to do that. And I can assert why I believe what I do, and you can assert why you believe what you do. And we can disagree with our opinion, but we can't disagree on the truth. So when people began to use that expression, that's my truth, they were essentially saying, whatever I believe and want to assert and want to believe, I'm declaring that to be the truth. And because I'm declaring it to be the truth, or as I said, my truth, then it has to be accepted and it has to be honored. Well, that will get us nowhere, because then we start having all kinds of conflicts. And if everything is the truth, then nothing is the truth. And we know that doesn't work. So a few thoughts about all of that. It matters so much more than people tend to realize.
It certainly does. You would not accept, when I was teaching, I constantly asked the parents, would you accept lies from your children? No, was the answer. Absolutely not. My child will never lie to me. Well, then why are you accepting lies from our legislators, from our media? And who becomes the role model if your role model is a liar? Well, we all know Joe Biden is a liar. How do you tell your children The president is a liar, but you have to tell the truth. The truth is consistent. I remember when I was doing seminars and I went, continued my talk, and a woman raised her hand and she said, "How come you're saying the same thing that the other guy that was here last month said?" And I said, "Because it's the truth. And when you talk about the truth, there's only one version. We can't be concerned or upset if the truth hurts, because it's the truth. And once you get over that initial hurt, you can deal with the rest because you know it's solid. You know it's factual. That's the concept of the truth. It's universal. There are no different ideas of what the truth should be. And the idea that a person can say, that's my truth for that day, for that minute, because next minute I can change it to be something else. How can you exist in a society when the truth constantly changes? And I think you hit the nail on the head, Pastor, when you said there's only one version. We have only one way to accept the truth. And that is why we must call on the American people right now, all of us, every single one of us, to tell our legislators, who, by the way, work for us. Think of your legislators as your employees. They are not your employer. And one of the things I always told everyone when I was running for office, make sure you become a friend of your legislator and constantly tell them. And right now we have a wealth of information that we can share with them with what is going on with these reports and also, and with the reports of this election. This election was a travesty. It was a travesty on America. What do you think about that, Pastor Rick?
Well, I think there's enormous evidence to point to fraudulent behavior. There is more and more evidence coming to light. There are more and more people who are credible and serious people that are making those statements. I think we've only begun to see the tip of the iceberg of what they're talking about. One of President Trump's lawyers, Sidney Powell, was interviewed recently, and she said that the evidence is coming in so fast that it's like a fire hose, and they're trying to collect it all. Well, I think that's an amazing statement from a serious lawyer who understands how to approach things in a serious way. Keep in mind, she is the lawyer for Lieutenant General Mike Flynn, and she has made some pretty strong statements relative to that case. And in every case that I'm aware of, the statements she made turned out to be so. So I think she's not somebody that's going to take this stuff lightly. She's not going to put her reputation out there over something that isn't so. And I think we need to pay close attention to what's going on and really see what comes out. And they would all say, the lawyers that I've heard for the president have all said, we need to trust the process. They haven't necessarily used that word, but they talk about how they're eager to put the evidence before a federal judge, how they're eager to let people know what they know. Well, if what they have is as strong as what they're saying, and it's not just one lawyer saying this, I heard another lawyer for the president say much the same thing. If their evidence is even close to as strong as they're saying, the American people need to pay attention and demand that the truth and the rule of law be followed. We will have to stand up for that and insist that it happen, because part of the battle is going to turn to becoming a political battle, and we cannot allow it to get to that point. We have to say, no, this has got to be based on the law and upon the truth. And we expect our people to follow that. Everyone has a stake in that. Everyone, doesn't matter your political preference. Everyone has a stake on a free, fair, and honest election. And we have to insist on that.
We sure do. And yesterday, those of you who were able to see some of in the House, where they had Jack Dorsey and they had Mark Zuckerberg talking about the censorship. This is a prime objective of communism. Communism is not going to take over America by a war. That's not going to happen. Communism is going to take over America by a change of ideology, by weakening our country, our value system, what we stand for internally. That's what Lincoln even said. He said, America will never be destroyed from without. It will be destroyed from within. And I truly believe that when America turned away from God, and we took God out of our schools, and we took God out of our daily lives, we turned to the dark side, and it made it very easy for the communists to get their tentacles in our most prized possession, our children. And we have that going on in our schools right now. It is happening today. We face the horrors of communism, which will mean it is the end of our civilization, of Western civilization, and our value system, which is based on the truth. America is based on the idea that we have a law. Let's take the Constitution, and it is applied equally to everyone. There cannot ever be a dual system of laws, a law for you, a law for me. And when that happens, we have to call it out. And we are seeing that right now in every single state, because they are using, I believe, the cover of the virus to put extreme pressure and power grabbing and abuse of power over the American people. I almost feel, Pastor Rick, like they are saying, let me see how far we can push these people into doing these stupid things that we want them to do. Let's see how far we can make them obey. What would you think of that, Pastor Rick?
Well, I think we have to be on guard for that, because I think there is clearly coercive pressure on people today, without a doubt, when they call people serious names, when they call people, even you mentioned how people are calling each other liars these days. Well, some years ago, and not that many years ago, you didn't hear that in public discourse, because people thought that that was a horrible description, and they wouldn't call someone a liar lightly. They might accuse them of fudging the truth, but they didn't use the word liar. Now it's used all the time, in so many ways, to demagogue people and worse. So we need to be real careful about that whole concept that we get to the truth. But I want to circle around to a little bit of what's the solution to this. And I was having breakfast with some friends this morning, and so all of this got brought up, and I reminded them. I said, in every instance that we know of in our lifetimes, where a group of people threw off a dictatorship, a tyrant, it always came from the church and from the people of God and their moral authority. And so I want to call on all of the people out there that are followers of Jesus, all of the church people, to rally around the fact that God has given us this country and put it into the stewardship of our care. And we have a responsibility before him to say, no, this is what we expect, and we will settle for nothing else. In recent days, some of the uprisings that came out of Hong Kong was grounded in and energized by the church and by the moral authority that said, this is right and this is wrong, and we insist on that which is right. Back some years ago, when Romania faced its terribly dark days, and the people rallied into the streets and insisted that the dictator go and that they had had enough of that, that was energized by the people of God saying, no, this is wrong, and before God, we will not stand for it. And I am convinced that the way America has hope for the future is for the people of God to gather their moral authority and stand up for that which is right and not back down. And I would challenge all of the pastors, all of the people that go to church, to make sure you stand up for that which is right and require that which is right and not back down. Too many times we who are Christians think, well, we have to be nice and polite and all that. And I'm not calling for anybody to be impolite. But I do think we need to be insistent, we need to be strong, we need to take courage, and we need to insist that that which is right prevail, and we won't settle for anything else. We insist that the people know the truth. We insist that the truth come out. We insist that the rule of law be followed. We insist that that which is right must prevail, and that which is wrong must be exposed and dealt with. We can settle for nothing less than that, and we have to require that on our moral authority that we gain from being followers of Jesus.
Absolutely. And as this election business unfolds, that's where you come in. That's where we come in. Right now, we need people, we need bodies to go to Georgia and rally in the Capitol, because their governor has the ability to set this election right. And as we have been discovering, he's not what he appears to be either. So we have to put pressure. Look at what the left is doing. Stacey Abrams is yelling at people to move to Georgia so that they'll be there for 30 days before the special election. Well, we need to move to Georgia. If that's what they are going to do, then we should be doing the same thing right now, because it exposes what they do. And that's what we need to be doing. Remember, in the horrors of communism, as we face this, every single ism leads to communism. There is not one ism that you can talk about that has a political system other than communism. Socialism, the goal of socialism, as Lenin said, is communism. Never forget that. I want to read to you a quote that I just read from Gary Barnett from LouRockwell.com. And he said, "It is imperative to remember that all roads towards socialism lead directly to communism, as Lenin described. In the United States, the march towards socialism has been steadily advancing for many years, especially in the so-called halls of learning and in the government that supports this transition. The goal of the state will always be towards socialism because it is the system that allows a few to control the many. We don't have to accept that. We should be in control of our legislators. If they know that if they're not doing what we need them to do, they won't be elected, you'd be surprised how many will change what their ideas are. And in the end, the takeover of the economy and the elimination of private property will signal the end of freedom and the advancement of communism. And that's what we are facing right now. It's up to us." What do you think, Pastor Rick, as we close the show? How about a closing prayer? Because I think America needs a prayer right now.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. Let's pray for God in heaven to intervene and to be with his people and our country. And Father, we do thank you that you have given us this gift of liberty. We have enjoyed it and never imagined that it could be under threat. But today we recognize that there are serious people advancing serious ideas that will undercut what you have given to us and hurt people more than we can even begin to imagine. And so we pray that you would hear from heaven on behalf of our nation, that you would bring the truth to light so that everybody can see it and that we can act upon it, and that the truth, as we see it and understand it, will save us from the horrors of the evils around us. We pray for our elected representatives that they would do what's right, not what they can get away with. And especially I pray for the people of God across this country, for it is our moral authority as followers of Jesus that we stand on. It's the moral authority that he gives us that says this is right and this is wrong that will carry us through. And we are counting on standing firmly for that and for truth and righteousness. And we pray that you would go before us and include us. We will do our part. Lead us in the way we should go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Rick. It has been a pleasure to be with all of you, and I look forward to seeing you all next week. Please do your job. Save America, because America is in the hands of Americans, no one else. If we're to save our country, it's up to us to act. And if we don't act, who will? And if not you, who? And if not now, when? You've been listening to Karen Schoen. This is the Prism of America's Education. Thank you all. But I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America, don't tread on.